This is the NOCM ESOL International Proficient User Level C2 listening examination. Please check that your name and other details are on your mark sheet. The invigilator will have explained how to fill in the mark sheet. Do not write on your examination paper. Put your answers on the mark sheet. The listening examination will now begin. Part 1. You will hear 10 sentences. Read the replies on your examination paper. You have 2 minutes to read the replies on your examination paper. Listen to the sentences. You will hear the sentences in full twice. Choose the best reply for the situation. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
One. I ordered the DVD you wanted. It should arrive tomorrow. Two. How long are you going to be out? Three. I don't know how to use the video app on my phone. Four. I know that man. I met him at Jack's party last weekend. Five. My prescription is ready. Would you mind picking it up for me? Six. I wish I hadn't cancelled my Sky subscription. Seven. I've lost my mobile phone. What should I do? Eight. Excuse me, is the town hall near here? 9. If I could go anywhere, I'd go to the Caribbean. 10. Have you had a letter from the hospital yet?
Now listen to the sentences again.
One. I ordered the DVD you wanted. It should arrive tomorrow. 2. How long are you going to be out? 3. I don't know how to use the video app on my phone. 4. I know that man. I met him at Jack's party last weekend. 5. My prescription is ready. Would you mind picking it up for me? 6. I wish I hadn't cancelled my Sky subscription. 7. I've lost my mobile phone. What should I do? 8. Excuse me, is the town hall near here? 9. If I could go anywhere, I'd go to the Caribbean. 10. Have you had a letter from the hospital yet?
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. You will hear 2 conversations. Read the questions and answers on your examination paper for both conversations. You have 2 minutes to read them. Listen to conversation one. You'll hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions. You'll then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I need an eye test, but before I buy some new glasses, could you give me some advice, please? What's the difference between bifocal lenses and varifocal lenses?
Both allow you to read close up and see long distances. Varifocals have an invisible, gradual change in the prescription lens, so they look like one lens. Bifocals are two lenses fused together. There's a visible horizontal line running across bifocal lenses.
So, a varifocal lens looks like a normal lens, whereas a bifocal lens doesn't?
That's right. Bifocal lenses are less expensive than varifocals, but varifocals are more attractive.
Can I have tinted lenses in varifocals? Only, I don't like bright lights. And what are transition lenses?
All lenses can be tinted. I would suggest you have a grey tint because it's darker than a brown tint. Transition lenses darken in the daylight when you go outside, so they become sunglasses.
That's just what I want, but I'm also looking for lenses that go dark in a car when I'm driving.
You need photochromic lenses. They're more expensive, but they react to light quicker than normal transition lenses.
Why don't normal transition lenses darken in a car?
Any transition lens will darken, depending on the intensity of ultraviolet radiation. Most car windows are tinted to shield us from ultraviolet light. So, normal transition lenses don't react when we're sitting in a car, but photochromic lenses will. Photochromic lenses react to light outside in daylight and through glass. They will darken when you're driving. You can have them in varifocals or bifocals.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Right. But you need an eye test first. Are you long-sighted or short-sighted?
I'm short-sighted and need to wear glasses all the time.
What type of frame are you looking for? You won't be able to have a small frame if you want varifocal lenses.
All right. Thanks.
Now listen to the conversation again.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I need an eye test, but before I buy some new glasses, could you give me some advice, please? What's the difference between bifocal lenses and varifocal lenses?
Both allow you to read close up and see long distances. Varifocals have an invisible, gradual change in the prescription lens, so they look like one lens. Bifocals are two lenses fused together. There's a visible horizontal line running across bifocal lenses.
So, a varifocal lens looks like a normal lens, whereas a bifocal lens doesn't?
That's right. Bifocal lenses are less expensive than varifocals, but varifocals are more attractive.
Can I have tinted lenses in varifocals? Only, I don't like bright lights. And what are transition lenses?
All lenses can be tinted. I would suggest you have a grey tint because it's darker than a brown tint. Transition lenses darken in the daylight when you go outside, so they become sunglasses.
That's just what I want, but I'm also looking for lenses that go dark in a car when I'm driving.
You need photochromic lenses. They're more expensive, but they react to light quicker than normal transition lenses.
Why don't normal transition lenses darken in a car?
Any transition lens will darken, depending on the intensity of ultraviolet radiation. Most car windows are tinted to shield us from ultraviolet light. So, normal transition lenses don't react when we're sitting in a car, but photochromic lenses will. Photochromic lenses react to light outside in daylight and through glass. They will darken when you're driving. You can have them in varifocals or bifocals.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Right. But you need an eye test first. Are you long-sighted or short-sighted?
I'm short-sighted and need to wear glasses all the time.
What type of frame are you looking for? You won't be able to have a small frame if you want varifocal lenses.
All right. Thanks.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. Listen to conversation 2. You will hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Hello, can I help you?
Yes, please. I'd like to buy some plants for my garden, but I'm not sure which ones to buy.
It depends on the size of your garden.
It's only small. It's a bit boring and I want to liven it up with lots of colour. I'd prefer flowers that come back every year.
You mean perennial plants. Annuals die after 1 year. Biennials flower every 2 years.
Right. I'd also like flowers with a strong scent that attract butterflies and bees.
Roses are a good flower for that. They come in various colours and scents. When you've got a small garden, it's important to make the best of the space you have, so you don't want plants that will grow too large.
I was thinking of growing geraniums and hydrangeas.
Both are good, but I would suggest you plant your flowers according to size, tall plants at the back and smaller ones at the front. That way, you get a much better display.
Could you recommend some good perennial plants?
If you're looking for a tall plant, delphinium is a good one to have. Bees love it, but it's toxic if eaten by pets. Flowers that produce attractive seed heads are good because they self-set, so you don't have to worry about replacing them. Bees love bluebells, lavender and bee balm, as well as flowering herbs such as sage, chives and marjoram. Butterflies love yarrow and astilbe. They come in many different colours, from pinkish white to hot pink.
What about plants that flower all through the year from spring to autumn?
I suggest allium, astilbe and yarrow, but coneflowers are my favourites. They're a lovely plant. They come back year after year and bees adore them. Their Latin name is Echinacea, and they come in a massive variety of colours called bubblegum, orangeberry and raspberry.
They all sound perfect. Thanks for your advice.
Now listen to the conversation again.
Hello, can I help you?
Yes, please. I'd like to buy some plants for my garden, but I'm not sure which ones to buy.
It depends on the size of your garden.
It's only small. It's a bit boring and I want to liven it up with lots of colour. I'd prefer flowers that come back every year.
You mean perennial plants. Annuals die after 1 year. Biennials flower every 2 years.
Right. I'd also like flowers with a strong scent that attract butterflies and bees.
Roses are a good flower for that. They come in various colours and scents. When you've got a small garden, it's important to make the best of the space you have, so you don't want plants that will grow too large.
I was thinking of growing geraniums and hydrangeas.
Both are good, but I would suggest you plant your flowers according to size. Tall plants at the back and smaller ones at the front. That way, you get a much better display.
Could you recommend some good perennial plants?
If you're looking for a tall plant, delphinium is a good one to have. Bees love it, but it's toxic if eaten by pets. Flowers that produce attractive seed heads are good because they self-set, so you don't have to worry about replacing them. Bees love bluebells, lavender and bee balm, as well as flowering herbs such as sage, chives and marjoram. Butterflies love yarrow and astilbe. They come in many different colours, from pinkish white to hot pink.
What about plants that flower all through the year, from spring to autumn?
I suggest allium, astilbe and yarrow, but coneflowers are my favourites. They're a lovely plant. They come back year after year and bees adore them. Their Latin name is Echinacea, and they come in a massive variety of colours called bubblegum, orangeberry and raspberry.
They all sound perfect. Thanks for your advice.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3. Debate and discussion. You will now hear a debate and a discussion. You will hear them twice. You have 2 minutes to look at the questions for both the debate and the discussion. Now listen to the debate. You will hear it twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Welcome to Radio 4. Today we're debating the issue of smoking. Should it be banned?
Yes, it should be banned on the streets. It's most unpleasant walking past smokers and breathing in their smoke.
But surely, banning smoking outside infringes their rights of freedom. It's their personal choice to smoke.
Well, blowing smoke in my face infringes my rights of freedom to breathe fresh air. It also gives the wrong impression to young people. Children are easily influenced. They see adults smoking on the streets and think it's normal, acceptable behaviour. We need to reduce their exposure to cigarettes.
Banning smoking probably wouldn't work. People will do what they want to do. It would be very difficult to control. Smoking isn't illegal.
There are always some people who flout the rules, but most people adhere to the law. Banning smoking safeguards the majority from breathing in toxic fumes. Inhaling smoke causes asthma and respiratory infections.
But we shouldn't treat smokers like criminals and make them feel guilty.
If they didn't smoke outside, there would be less temptation to give in to peer pressure, and it might discourage people from smoking altogether. Also, there is the issue of litter. Millions of cigarette butts are thrown on the ground each day and aren't recyclable. Butts have even been found in the stomachs of fish, and the chemicals in cigarette butts pollute our waterways.
No, I didn't know that. From a business perspective, though, a lot of people would be out of work if cigarette factories closed down. Cigarettes generate a lot of tax for the government.
I'm not saying smokers have to stop smoking altogether. They can smoke in their own homes and gardens, so long as it's not done in front of their children. There are massive costs to hospitals, though, because smoking causes diseases. So whatever tax is made is spent on healthcare. It's a waste of money.
Thank you.
Now listen to the debate again.
Welcome to Radio 4. Today we're debating the issue of smoking. Should it be banned?
Yes, it should be banned on the streets. It's most unpleasant walking past smokers and breathing in their smoke.
But surely, banning smoking outside infringes their rights of freedom. It's their personal choice to smoke.
Well, blowing smoke in my face infringes my rights of freedom to breathe fresh air. It also gives the wrong impression to young people. Children are easily influenced. They see adults smoking on the streets and think it's normal, acceptable behaviour. We need to reduce their exposure to cigarettes.
Banning smoking probably wouldn't work. People will do what they want to do. It would be very difficult to control. Smoking isn't illegal.
There are always some people who flout the rules, but most people adhere to the law. Banning smoking safeguards the majority from breathing in toxic fumes. Inhaling smoke causes asthma and respiratory infections.
But we shouldn't treat smokers like criminals and make them feel guilty.
If they didn't smoke outside, there would be less temptation to give in to peer pressure, and it might discourage people from smoking altogether. Also, there is the issue of litter. Millions of cigarette butts are thrown on the ground each day and aren't recyclable. Butts have even been found in the stomachs of fish, and the chemicals in cigarette butts pollute our waterways.
No, I didn't know that. From a business perspective, though, a lot of people would be out of work if cigarette factories closed down. Cigarettes generate a lot of tax for the government.
I'm not saying smokers have to stop smoking altogether. They can smoke in their own homes and gardens, so long as it's not done in front of their children. There are massive costs to hospitals, though, because smoking causes diseases. So whatever tax is made is spent on healthcare. It's a waste of money.
Thank you.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3. Debate and discussion. Listen to the discussion. You will hear it twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Good morning. Welcome to our daily discussion. Today we're talking about school holidays and summer schools. Joining me is Ray, a university lecturer in education. Ray, is summer school a good idea?
Absolutely. Summer schools provide fantastic opportunities for young people to retake any exams they may have failed or to make up for a failed year. Also, it keeps their learning alive.
Yes, I suppose having such a long holiday break can be detrimental to learning. I mean, it's easy to forget what you've learned and get out of the habit of studying.
Exactly. Summer schools can provide the opportunity to learn specific skills such as teamwork, leadership skills, and presentation skills. A lot of students lack the confidence required to deliver presentations in front of large classes. By practicing public speaking, they are able to build their self-esteem and speak confidently. This will also help students who are going to college or university. It gives them the chance to prepare for moving on.
Right. Also, by filling in the gaps in their education, it probably frees up time during the year for them to focus on the subjects they're studying for exams. I'm just concerned they'll miss out on precious family time. Summer schools can make family holidays difficult. Parents would have to fit their holidays in around their children's education.
I guess so, but it won't be forever. My main concern is for the teachers. Teachers work beyond their contracted 35 hours all the time. They teach during the day, mark homework in their own time, attend parents' evenings, and plan lessons at home. They need holidays too, and time to prepare for the next term. The Department of Education estimates that teachers work around an average of 50 hours a week with no extra time off or overtime pay.
Yes, it's an exhausting job. Thank you, Ray. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Now listen to the discussion again.
Good morning. Welcome to our daily discussion. Today we're talking about school holidays and summer schools. Joining me is Ray, a university lecturer in education. Ray, is summer school a good idea?
Absolutely. Summer schools provide fantastic opportunities for young people to retake any exams they may have failed or to make up for a failed year. Also, it keeps their learning alive.
Yes, I suppose having such a long holiday break can be detrimental to learning. I mean, it's easy to forget what you've learned and get out of the habit of studying.
Exactly. Summer schools can provide the opportunity to learn specific skills such as teamwork, leadership skills, and presentation skills. A lot of students lack the confidence required to deliver presentations in front of large classes. By practicing public speaking, they are able to build their self-esteem and speak confidently. This will also help students who are going to college or university. It gives them the chance to prepare for moving on.
Right. Also, by filling in the gaps in their education, it probably frees up time during the year for them to focus on the subjects they're studying for exams. I'm just concerned they'll miss out on precious family time. Summer schools can make family holidays difficult. Parents would have to fit their holidays in around their children's education.
I guess so, but it won't be forever. My main concern is for the teachers. Teachers work beyond their contracted 35 hours all the time. They teach during the day, mark homework in their own time, attend parents' evenings, and plan lessons at home. They need holidays too, and time to prepare for the next term. The Department of Education estimates that teachers work around an average of 50 hours a week with no extra time off or overtime pay.
Yes, it's an exhausting job. Thank you, Ray. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. That is the end of the listening examination. Please check your mark sheet is completed correctly. Put your pens down. End of examination.